Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of Wickedly Weird with Jerry and Amanda. Amanda, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're going to jump into the story and keep our chit chat till the end. But before we do, we're really not going to jump in because I've got a question for you. Mm-hmm. I've had people ask about if there's any Greg the Turkey updates.
Oh, crap. I forgot about Greg the Turkey.
So that means no.
No, wait. So I think he's been captured and he's living in my neighbor's across the street yard because I do hear the gobble gobbles. I do hear them. My best friend hears them in the morning. And then he actually did have an incident not that long ago where he like was being an asshole to some kid walking up the street. But I haven't really seen him do anything crazy.
Okay. And when you say captured, do you mean by the people who own him or a different neighbor?
No, like, I just think he was captured from the wild. Like, I don't think he was gaggling with his friends.
I don't think that turkey was ever wild to begin with. It always belonged to somebody, didn't it?
No, I think it was rejected by its tribe. Because there's something wrong with it.
Okay. So, yeah. we got something cool to talk about after the show. We got a bunch of cool stuff to talk about. So, after this episode, everybody stay tuned because we got some conspiracy stuff to talk about. And we got this crazy case about the morgue up at Harvard University being raided because they were selling body parts out of there from people who donated their body.
Gross.
So we're going to talk about that at the end. But Amanda, today's story goes back to July 2003 in Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield, California. Let's do it.
It involves a gentleman by the name of Vincent Brothers. Now, he was born May 31st, 1962. Vincent had a great job. He was actually vice principal at Fremont School. I don't know if that was an elementary or a high school or a grade school, but, well, grade school is elementary. I meant middle school. He had a wife. Her name was Joanne. He had three kids, four-year-old Marcus, 23-month-old Lindsay, and 6-week-old Marshall. Vincent and Joanne had their share of issues, we're going to say, kind of a tumultuous relationship. Like most, you know, married couples, they had some issues. Joanne had their first child in 1998. Now, Vincent was not present for that birth. They got married in the year 2000, and then they separated a month later. Joanne gave birth to Lindsay later that year. And again, Vincent was not there for that one. So he's 0 for 2.
Good for him.
In 2001, the marriage was annulled. Uh-huh. Why? Well, Vincent said that it was in irreconcilable differences. Well, Joanne said it was fraud. She didn't know that Vincent had been married two other times.
I bet you he was killing him. All right, go ahead.
But no, he wasn't. Regardless of the ups and downs, friends and family members said that Joanne loved Vincent deeply, okay? She wanted to be a true family no matter what it took. So in January 2003, Joanne and Vincent remarried.
Oh my God.
That was January. In May, Marshall, the youngest baby, was born. Hmm. Now, although Vincent had actually moved out of the house by April, due to a fight with his mother-in-law, Ernestine.
What was her name?
He was actually at Marshall's birth. Ernestine was his mother-in-law.
Ernestine?
Yes.
Ernestine scared stupid. Remember that from Ernest?
Yes, I do remember that. Well, you know the guy that played Ernest is buried right here where I live.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a Kentucky guy and he's buried in Lexington.
He is very Kentuckian. I could see it.
Yeah, you can see that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is when tragedy struck.
Uh-oh.
So follow me on this. Vincent flew from Bakersfield, California to Columbus, Ohio to visit his brothers on July 2nd, 2003. On July 6th, 4 days later, Joanne, her mother, and the three kids all went to morning church services. And this was a big deal because Joanne was bringing baby Marshall to church for the first time. Remember, he was only 6 months
old. Oh, he was just a baby. Yep. Did they not go to church or something back then? Or back then, Amanda, I was like 8 or 9 or 12. I don't even know. Oh, what? Wait, 2008? Oh my God. 2008.
I think 2003.
I think I was in like junior high, maybe.
What year were you born?
19. No, I don't want to tell.
Oh my God.
I'm a vampire.
You act like I was asking your weight or something.
Oh, don't ask that question. As I eat nerds.
All right. So they go to church. She's bringing the baby for the first time. Then they go out for lunch afterwards with Joanne's friend, Kelsey Spahn. Joanne tells Kelsey while they're at lunch, you know what? We're going to go home and we're going to just kind of relax a little bit, get a little bit of rest before we come back the evening for the evening services.
Well, you know, going to two?
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of religions where they do that. They'll go twice a day. I've never really understood. And it's not usually like a lot of times the evening is different than the daytime. Like it'd be a true service in the morning. Then the evening, it'll be like just singing and stuff like that. Or it won't be as much preaching as it would be just rejoicing. And I don't know what their situation was, but I know that's the way a lot of churches are.
I haven't stepped foot in one since I don't know how long.
Well, that's probably a good thing for the church. So they don't have to do, you know, damage repair and stuff like that afterwards. So
quick burn.
They don't show up for the church service at night, though. So Kelsey's concerned.
Me too.
Over the next couple of days, she starts making phone calls, but none of the calls are returned.
Wait, the whole family is missing, right?
Yes. Well, the whole family didn't show up for church. Yes.
Okay.
2 days after the church service on Tuesday, Kelsey goes by the house. Now, the house looked fine from the outside, but Kelsey, she has a key to the house, and if for some reason it wouldn't work on the front door.
Uh-oh.
So she makes her way over to the patio, and she finds that door is unlocked. It was just after 7 a.m., and she makes a 911 call to police, and they show up to find a house of horror.
Oh, no. Murder? Murder, I knew it.
Joanne was face down in bed, dead from several bullets and stab wounds.
Excellent. Okay.
She had wounds to her head, chest, and back. Lindsay, the basically two-year-old, was on her left side at the foot of the bed, dead from a single gunshot wound to the back.
Mm-mm.
Marcus, the oldest of the group, who, if I remember correctly, was 4, he was beside his mother, and for whatever reason, he was covered with a sheet, but he was also dead from a gunshot wound to the head. Authorities said that he had been frightened so bad before he was shot, and they know this because his eyes were open and he had bitten his hand to the bone. And then you've got baby Marshall, the 6-week-old, who initially was thought to be missing, but was found under a pillow near his mother. He had also been shot in the back. Ernestine Harper, the mother-in-law, that was a little different situation because she actually was found in the hallway, away from the rest of the family. She had been shot in the face.
Because he hated her.
Right. She had a pistol beside her that she had planned on using on the killer, but apparently never got a chance to. It had never been fired. Right. Now, I'm going to tell you about the main suspect.
I can guess who it is. Okay.
The sponsor break. All right. Almost immediately after the murder, suspicion fell on the husband, Vincent Brothers. But there was an issue with this because he had a rock solid alibi. He had flown to Columbus, Ohio 4 days ago and even rented a car when he got to Columbus. His cell phone had also been used in Columbus the day of the murder.
Okay.
He's 2,200 miles away.
So then who did it?
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Vincent and the problem with naming him as a suspect. He was very well respected in the Bakersfield community. He was known to be a mentor to young men. He was a Christian family man, as far as everybody knew. And we mentioned earlier that he was a vice principal at a local school.
Oh,
but here we are as a suspect. Now, 9 months later, after the crime, he was actually arrested and charged with 5 counts of murder.
Did he have a hit put on them?
No.
Oh,
the trial began on February 2nd, 2007. He pleaded not guilty, and he claimed he was in Ohio and could not have committed the murders. The prosecution said that Brothers was an admitted adulterer who never loved his family, and he used murder to rid himself of this financial burden in his life.
That makes sense.
Prosecution claims that Brothers flew to Ohio to establish an alibi, rented a car from Dollar Rent-A-Car, which he did. It was a Dodge Neon, if you're keeping score at home. So that would be enough. If I had to drive a Dodge Neon for 2,200 miles or something, that would be enough to make me want to commit murder. I'm just saying.
They don't even make those anymore.
There's a reason.
I know.
They're saying that he drove the car after he rented it from Ohio to California, committed the murders, and drove back to Ohio. Now, the defense claims that the extramarital affairs that was basically claimed by the prosecution, were just being used to discredit his character, and it didn't prove murder by any way, shape, or form. And I could see that.
Yeah.
Prosecution said that Brothers put 5,400 miles on that rental car, which would have gotten him to California and back.
Mm-mm-mm.
Defense countered with, you know what? We got cell phone records that showed that he was in Ohio at the time of the murder, and he was even involved in a minor traffic accident where a boy on a bike darted out into the street and ran into Brothers' rental car. On top of this, there was no video evidence of that car in 100 gas stations or mini marts between Ohio and California.
What?
It keeps getting better.
This is like that's bad.
It's a good Dateline case if they had it on Dateline.
Jesus.
So it keeps getting better, Amanda.
Yeah.
The prosecution produced video evidence that Vincent Brothers. So
wait,
we're
that's
talk
his
about
full name.
His name is Vincent Brothers, but we're going to talk about his brothers. So this part will sound complicated, but they've got video evidence that Vincent's brother Melvin.
Okay,
He used Vincent's credit card at Walmart and actually forged Vincent's signature. So there was proof that his card was used at Walmart on the day of the murders. But now we have video proof that Vincent wasn't the one using his card. His brother used it and signed Vincent's name to it.
Oh, I bet you he was the father of those kids. Oh, boy. Let's go.
Then his brother admitted that he had no clue where Vincent was from July 4th to the 7th. He also admitted to having Vincent's cell phone and making calls with it on the day of the murder. So now some of this alibi stuff is going straight out the window.
Yep.
Because, well, hey, he used his credit card in Ohio. Nope, his brother did that.
Yep.
And his brother also made the cell phone calls, which means Vincent could have been free to drive back and forth to California. Vincent Brothers himself took the stand in his own defense and said that he was driving around with his other brother, Troy, for those 3 days. That's why Melvin didn't see him or know where he was. Troy, his brother, was then subpoenaed and didn't show up in court to testify. And they couldn't find him. They put $100,000 bond or warrant out for him. Now, on May 15, 2007, Vincent Brothers was convicted on all five counts of first-degree murder. And on September 27th, he was sentenced to death.
Holy
now, the prosecution could not prove that even though that car had all those miles on it, that he used it to drive back and forth and commit the murder. So how was he convicted?
Yeah, how was he convicted? This is like a bad math problem. How was he convicted?
Well, this is going to blow your mind. While the police had the car, they took out the radiator and the air filter. Amanda, what happens when you drive on the freeway for a long period of time?
In the summer. It gets hot. You got to put the AC on.
True.
But happens? I don't know.
You also get a lot of
oil
bugs.
Change.
No. But you also get a lot of bugs hit your windshield and other parts of the car, right?
Yeah.
Well, the investigators asked entomologist, which is a bug expert, Lynn Kimsey, to do an inspection of the air filter and the radiator. And she discovered a paper wasp, two different species of true bugs, which those are like the stink bugs and leaf bugs and stuff like that.
Duh.
A leg of a grasshopper. Now, they found more than that. But those three specific things are all only specific to the Western United States. AKA, they're not from Ohio, which meant that car was driven to the West Coast while he had it.
Oh my God. All from bugs. God damn.
Oh, it gets better. On top of that, there was a lack of butterflies, but plenty of moths, which meant that he spent plenty of time driving at night. So they came to the conclusion through Kinsey's testimony that he had driven, from the time he got the car, he'd driven at night back and forth. It's like a 36-hour trip. But he spent basically 3 days of doing nothing but driving up and back to California. And he is currently sitting on death row, thanks to the bug experts.
Holy crap. Did he say why he did it?
No, I don't think he's ever admitted to it. But I think it's obviously because he just didn't want to be married, didn't want the financial obligation.
Burden. That's
now fucked. I always wondered where, you know, they found those bugs. And I guess really it doesn't make sense. I was gonna say, if they found those bugs, who's to say the driver before that didn't drive it to California? But it wouldn't make sense if the car is rented in Ohio. Yeah, it's probably been in that area the whole time.
Like, what are the odds? You know what I mean? Like, right. That's wild. Imagine if his brother did it, and this was just like, got you back for that time. You didn't let me sit in the front seat. Could you imagine? Like, that's just fucked up, man. People are so screwy. Ugh.
Yeah, that's one you wouldn't expect. But that goes to show you how ingenious some of these police tactics are.
That's crazy.
I would have never thought to do that.
Like, how can you kill a 2-year-old? How can you kill a 6? Like, how can you do that?
I'll never be able to understand.
That's a true demon.
And not only that, but your own children.
Yeah, like, it's not like, see, I thought you were going to be like, plot twist, they were his brother's children or something. But, like, how can you do that? And just be like, oh, I'm done. See you later.
It's absolutely crazy.
I don't get it. You better put a trigger warning at the beginning of this.
No, I'm not doing trigger warnings on any of our stuff.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's it. If they get triggered, they just get triggered. It is what it is.
You should have, like, child warning.
You don't need to listen to anything true crime if you get triggered. It's just the way
it is. That's true. This is that audio. All right. Gotcha.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about this. The situation in Harvard, and then we'll move on to some other stuff.
Oh, the Harvard situation. I don't know. I couldn't open the thing. It wanted me to be.
No, I'm going to read you the article because it's funny in its own right, even though it's not meant to be funny.
I know.
FBI agents arrested six suspects who allegedly trafficked stolen human body parts, including remains from cadavers at Harvard Medical School. Goffstown, New Hampshire resident Cedric Lodge, who worked as the morgue manager at Harvard Medical School, was arrested and indicted by federal grand jury on Wednesday. His wife, Denise Lodge, was taken into custody as well, along with Katrina McLean of Salem, Massachusetts. This story's close to you. This should be all over your news, probably.
I haven't really been on Facebook today.
Well, it's probably all over the television because it's all this came out today.
I haven't watched any TV yet.
Three other suspects, Pennsylvania residents Joshua Taylor and Jeremy Pauly, no relation, along with Minnesota resident Matthew Lampe, were also indicted for their alleged involvement in the trafficking. I think that Jeremy Pauly story came up a while ago because this guy's got tattoos all over his face and everything, and people keep tagging me in this picture. So,
what? Oh my God. That's hilarious. What's his name? Jeremy Pauly.
Jeremy Pauly, but it's only one L instead of two L's. So it's not exactly like my name. Now, here's where it gets fun. Lodge is accused of stealing organs and other parts of cadavers donated for medical research and education before they were to be cremated. Authorities allege he would sometimes take the stolen remains from Boston to his New Hampshire home between 2018 and 2022. No.
Okay.
Authorities said he and his wife, Denise Lodge, would then sell the remains.
Fucking gross.
The indictment, which was obtained by Fox News, stated that the suspects allegedly discussed their activities on social media sites.
Oh, my, Lanta.
They're not the smartest people, even though they worked at Harvard.
Well, I saw a picture of him. I thought he was definitely going to be eating somebody.
At times, Lodge stole dissected portions of donated cadavers, including, for example, heads, brains, skin, bones, and other remains.
That's a no. Reads.
Lodge is accused of letting McLean and Taylor visit the morgue, pick which parts of the cadavers they would purchase, and then remove them.
What Many are we the remains... in the freaking 17th century? What is happening?
Right. Many of the remains were reportedly shipped through the U.S. Postal Service. You know, that's tough because they always ask you if there's anything liquid or fragile or explosive.
It was liquid and fragile and bloody. Like, what the fuck? What are they, like, freeze in a freezer bag? Like, what is happening?
I don't know. It's like HelloFresh.
How do you not how do you not smell that stink?
I don't know.
That's
so
nasty.
This is the best part of the story, the funniest part. McLean, who allegedly sold the remains to buyers across the country, operated a business called Cat's Creepy Creation. And here's what it said. According to our Facebook page, I am an artist of horror, macabre, oddities, and everything creepy. In one graphic situation, McLean reportedly bought two dissected faces from Lodge for $600. In another, she allegedly shipped human skin to Jeremy Pauly.
Oh, no. Nope,
so he
that's
could
a no.
Turn it into leather.
Why did I know it was going to go there? What was he? Oh, my God. What was he doing with it?
He's making leather out of it.
That's
maybe
nasty.
Pants, maybe...
He's disgusting. Oh, God. Nope. Don't even. Nope. Done with All that.
This shows you how stupid they were. The indictment states that Pauly allegedly sent over $40,000 to Taylor via PayPal. A total of $37,355 was sent by Taylor to an account operated by Denise Lodge, with memos including statements like head number 7 and brains. That's what they were putting in the subject line when they were sending their money.
Who does that? That, like, it was right in front of your face the whole time. Oh my God.
Harvard Medical School addressed the incident in a statement titled "An Abhorrent Betrayal." We are appalled to learn that something so disturbing could happen on our campus.
Well,
a community dedicated to healing and serving others.
Oh my God.
The reported incidents are a betrayal of HMS and, most importantly, each of the individuals who chose to will their bodies to Harvard Medical School throughout the anatomical gift program to advance medical education and research.
Oh,
we're very sorry for
God.
The pain this news will cause for our anatomical donors, families, and loved ones, and the Harvard Medical School pledges to engage with them during this deeply distressing time. The school
there is
added.
No amount of like, oh my God, what? No apologies fixing that one. Oh, you know, Uncle Larry's, you have a new belt. Like, oh my. Oh, do you like my leather pants? Like, oh, that was Sally. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we're so sorry that Aunt Clara was cremated without her face.
That's a no. That's a no for me.
They could use that to make a lamp like I got sitting on my table.
Maybe. That's gross. They're probably selling stuff on Etsy. Who even knows what they were doing? Oh, boy. Oh, could have done without that. That is really gross.
Oh, what do you? I got a story coming up for you in the future that you're going to be like freaked out by.
What? I've been going down conspiracy holes. I don't think much can freak me out anymore.
This one will freak you out. Just judging by your reaction to this one, this story I got coming up for you will freak you out. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, but all right. So let's talk about conspiracy theory. So you were telling me,
hold on, wait.
The satanic cult.
Hold on, wait, pause. I gotta pee. One sec. Okay, be right back. I gotta pee. Hold on. I have literally drank so much liquid in the past like 2 hours. It's not even funny.
I'm on water pills, so I'm used to it.
Oh my God.
I
drank. This is a dragon fruit green tea refresher with coconut milk. Sucked it down. I just drink a lot of liquids.
Amanda, tell me what you were talking about before we started recording about this, these conspiracy theories that you were listening to all these episodes and going down rabbit holes, but you were talking about one about a satanic cult. Tell me about that one again.
Yeah, that was fucked up. It was this guy who was like an ex, like he was in a cult. It wasn't even really a cult. It was a demonic satanic group or whatever he was part of. He was making porn at 12. Like, he was just doing all kinds of crazy shit. And I don't, like, you guys should definitely go listen to it because it's like just super fucked up. Like, he had to do all kinds of wild things. And I feel like, you want to hope he's telling the truth, right? Because, like, the stories that he was saying were pretty fucking wild. And I was like,
And you want to hope those are true.
No, I don't want to hope those are true, but like, my God, I didn't even want to listen to it. Like, I didn't even want to. I wanted to shut it off after like 30 minutes in, but like, I couldn't. I had to find out what happened at the end.
That's the way I am with porn. It's like, look, after about 30 minutes, the screen starts to irritate your nose. So,
well, no, none of that. It's just like, I don't know. And then the podcast is called Cult of Conspiracy. If you're on here, you probably know about it. I mean, like, we don't really do conspiracies, but we're in that grouping. And you know, hold on, let me see if I can find the whole episode and what it's called, but it completely blew me away, and I don't really like that sort of thing when it comes, like, I don't want to hear about the stuff they do inside of it, but this guy was very interesting.
So while you're looking that up, let me just suggest to people, if you know of a story that's just really mind-blowing, it doesn't matter if it's a Bigfoot story or if it's an alien story or abduction or true crime, send it to us, and we will be more than happy to take a look at it. But I try to keep them away from Amanda. She doesn't know these stories unless she just happened to have heard it, but I don't share with her what the story was going to be.
Yeah. So don't send me anything. All right. So it's called
I'm not through giving my email address out.
Oh, fuck. My bad. I wasn't paying attention. Go ahead.
So send them to Jerry, Jerry, Pauly, Pauley, at AOL.com, or you can send them to hillbillyhorrorstories@gmail.com. Either way.
Okay. It's good. You should go there. Okay. So anywho, it's called ex-satanic wizard with
Zachary. I like how you say satanic. like Titanic. He's got sciatica or something.
He's the devils are inside of him. And you know, and he does, the whole thing was just very fucked up, and I wasn't expecting the words that were coming out of his mouth to come out. But on that, like, there are just so many, I don't know, like, things that, like, we don't know about. And then you hear someone who's actually doing, or, like, what I see, I don't know if I fully believe that he's not still doing it, you know? But I just, it's crazy, and it's kind of scary because you don't really know somebody, you know? Like, he was hanging out with, like, people that were in churches, and...
You've said a whole lot of nothing. You've said a bunch of stuff without really saying anything that the guy's done that you heard about that was mind-blowing.
Because I don't know
except
if we
for
should.
The porn at 12.
Well,
sure, go ahead.
But you want me to say it?
I want you to say some of the stuff. Yes, that's the whole point. Otherwise, people are going to be like, well, that was a bunch of nothing.
Well, you're going to have to edit it out.
I'm not going to edit anything out.
Oh my God.
Ahead.
Like, how there was a... He didn't know where this woman came from, and maybe not really a woman, but like maybe a teenager, and she was basically sleeping with all these men, and some woman came in, and he witnessed this whole thing and like gave her a shot of something, and she starts foaming at the mouth, and she ends up dying. And she says, she comes out of the little room that this girl was in and goes, oh, she's dead. She died. And someone was like, oh, can we keep going? Like, it was just like cops are involved in this whole story. The mayor is involved in this whole thing. It's crazy. It was just.
Yes, that's deeply disturbing.
It's fucked up. Like, I don't think I was expecting that. I mean, it's like a satanic cult. What would I expect? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
But I think when people think of like satanic cults and the this and the that, they think of like witches and warlocks, and like I don't think they think like baby death, you know? Like, I just don't think that's ringing a bell there, because it's so glorified on TV. I mean, this guy said he signed celebrities that made deals with the devil. He doesn't say who the celebrities are, but he does say he was part of that whole thing. Then that's how he starts getting into the Illuminati and all of that. Whether you believe in it or not, I don't know, but.
Do you believe in the fact that someone can sell their soul for riches, fame, stuff like that? Do you believe that's even a thing?
I don't know. Does hell exist? You know what I mean? Like, I think I would need some like solid proof that like there is a heaven and a hell, because if neither one exists, then how can there be an Illuminati?
Right? Well, there can be, I'm playing devil's advocate here. There could be an afterlife where things are just as screwed up as it is here on Earth. Maybe you just got an afterlife of a bunch of good people and bad people battling it out, just like here.
But what if we're all dead and this is hell? Because it kind of feels like it. No, it's not. This is terrible. We've got aliens crashing, fires burning. Oh my God, it's bad.
We need to talk about the alien stuff on the next episode. We do need to bring that up, because
wild.
That's starting to get crazy.
I think they are going to push this narrative super duper hard. I think I don't know. Like, I think when stuff like this happens, there's something going on in the background. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, usually it's to divert away from something else. But this whistleblower is saying that there's like 12 different fully intact ships that the U.S. has.
Could you imagine? I mean, but like, I wouldn't be shocked if they came out and said, right now, we're going to interview an alien on NBC. I'd be like, oh, look at that. Just another day. Like, I don't think I'd be even shocked. Like, look at that. I don't know. And there's just so many. See, and this is all because of TikTok. What happened was, I was on TikTok, and the next thing I know, we're talking about conspiracy after conspiracy about, you know, conspiracy about people being people who are dead, who aren't really dead. And then like, we got down this whole Got Milk campaign, and then. Have you heard about gang stalking?
Wait a minute. Got Milk.
It's a got Milk conspiracy. That one I don't really know how to explain without sounding like an idiot, because it's really super complicated. But the Got Milk conspiracy is like, it's fucked up and it's gross. And like that, you might not want to drink milk after you listen to it.
Well, I don't drink milk anyway, so I think milk's gross.
Yeah, I mean, they just talk about all kinds of fucked up shit that goes on with dairy farmers and cows and
All right, we'll talk about that on the next episode too. So the next episode's really shaping up. So we're going to talk about aliens and Got Milk.
One I really is hard to explain. So like you would actually listen to that.
Yeah. So that gives you a week.
To it.
It gives you a week to go back and listen to it again.
I'm not going to go back and listen to it again. That was hard to get through. You can listen to it and you can give your take on it
everybody comes here for your take, not mine.
Why? No, but you got to listen to it because it's fucking gross.
Okay.
It's gross. Pus in our milk and bleh. It's gross. And there's actually, and it doesn't cure osteoporosis. It's a lie.
Well, I don't got that either.
I mean, everything. I mean, we eat I mean, what do you think nerds are? It's just little plastic pieces that taste delicious.
the nerd gummy clusters are phenomenal.
Oh my God. What's your favorite color?
Oh, I don't know. I eat them by the hand. I don't look at the color.
Have a blue bag and a pink bag and a yellow bag. Oh,
I don't even, I've only had one kind and I don't remember what bag it was.
I bet you it was a blue bag.
They're hard to find. And I actually found one at a Myers or something.
What's a Myers?
It's a store. Meijers. Do you have them up
like
there?
Like a liquor store?
No, it's like a Walmart.
I don't have one of those here. I don't even have a wigwam or whatever the hell it is. Wiggums.
That's like an up north thing or something. That's not something that's all over the country.
How do you do that hand thing again? It was very Italian of you. No, we have a Walmart and a Target, and we have liquor stores. Well, we have tons of them. There's like four. I can like literally walk to all four right now. It'll take me under an hour.
It says a lot about the part of town you live in.
It's not really that great.
I can tell that by the four liquor stores within walking distance.
And there's a Dunkin' Donuts right down the street. Like, it's great. Gas station up the road.
You know, I have a friend of mine that said something to me that I had, and I'm not going to say who it is because he's well known, but I don't want to throw him under the bus. He said something to me that I had never thought about. And now that he's implanted in my mind, I pay attention every time I pass one. But he said when he's looking for a hotel in a city he's never been in, he doesn't know the area.
Okay.
He always looks to see where the Rallies or the Checkers restaurants are because they're never in good neighborhoods. And if there's a Rallies or a Checkers near the hotel, he won't rent the hotel room.
That's kind of smart if you think about it.
I had never thought about it. I mean, there are certain places that you think of, they're probably always like a check cashing place or a rent-to-own store.
But what are those places? What is a Checker? A Checkers? Checkers? What is a Checkers?
It's a hamburger place. Rallies? Do you not have Rallies or Checkers?
I don't have a Rally company. Or Checkers.
They're the same company, but some places they're called Rallies. Some places the name, I guess, was copyrighted.
We have like Checkers. Friendlies, Chili's. It's really Friendlies, Chili's. We got Taco Bell's.
Yeah, it's a really quick
Fridays.
It's a good burger. I mean, it really is a good burger, and they have seasoned fries, like this coating on the fries, and that's
like Five Guys burgers and fries.
No, like Five Guys just has fresh cut fries. These are like fries that are dipped in a batter and then fries.
Oh, nope.
Trust me, that's why people go there, is for the fries.
Well, then mail some to me, please.
I will. Actually, you know what? They actually sell them up here in the grocery stores by the bag. So you actually, if you check your grocery store, you may find some fries that say Checkers or Rallies on them.
Nope, I got none of that. I got Idaho potato.
Well, you need to venture out from your neighborhood.
And no, I mean, like, I can venture out. I just don't feel like it. I don't fucking feel like it. I want to sit on my porch.
Well, let's wrap this thing up. We've been going for a while, so I'm done.
I miss your face. I just say, where's my link? And you go, I sent it to you already. And I go, okay. And then you send me some newspaper I need to subscribe to. So
I didn't have to subscribe to it.
I did. It said, the Enterprise. I'm like, get out of here.
I just clicked off of it and went back to the story.
I wasn't allowed to click off of it. It wouldn't let me do nothing.
Whatever. So say Harvard. I want to hear it.
No. Just because you want to hear it. Absolutely not.
Please.
Nope.
One time. You're
I
cruel.
can't. It's not cruel.
Just one time.
No.
Because
I'm not your little monkey. I don't dance for you.
I know it's going to be Harvard.
Not how did that go? What are you, an Englishman?
Yes.
I'm not saying it.
All right, fine. Bye.
Fine. No, whoa. You that's how you're gonna just end it?
Yeah. Well,
Like,
you ended it when you're with your bye. I'm a
no,
pre-ender.
I got to say bye.